to Mayak, Beloved Saints. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. I hope you were able to see the lunar eclipse and second blood moon this year, early Wednesday. That was in the morning. I actually thought it was Thursday last week, and so I'm very glad a friend of mine corrected me. But I was able to see the whole eclipse as I began watching at about 5 a.m., and then finally the blood moon just appeared. Not as bright in Ohio as I had hoped, but beautiful nonetheless. So anyway, we are right now in the middle of a tetrad, and one wonders what major event will signify, and many believe is already upon us, but will get worse. Oh, you can pick either ISIS or the many pestilences like Ebola, enterovirus, or the new strain of flu that they say will be horrendous this coming year. Oh, but don't worry, vaccines are on the way. In fact, GlaxoSmithKline is the pharmaceutical company lucky enough to get the contract from the CDC, or at least one of them. You know, the one that was sued 2 years ago for bribing doctors to push its feel-better drugs? And yes, they accidentally released over 10 gallons of concentrated live polio into a water treatment plant in Belgium last month. So much more I could tell you, and if you are on our email list, you do receive links pertaining to these kind of things. But I know many of you do say, I can't believe anyone would purposely do such heinous crimes against humanity. But what does our good book say about who our enemies are? In case you've forgotten, it's not people, but spiritual wickedness that rule the people. And they want to kill you. These rulers of darkness who are now much darker and in a much darker world. Ephesians 6. So wake up, sleeping church. Get on your armor. We really are in a war, a battle for lost souls. So speak out and shout the truth that sets people free from the bondage of this darkness. You know, a question to ask yourself, could these determined to reduce the population globalists be hyping up this Ebola scare so people will want to acquire the vaccine that might kill half of its recipients? There is undercover video that shows people in Liberia are being paid to pretend they're sick and sending over our troops. Unless bullets can kill disease, is just an excuse to have our troops there for other and not humanitarian reasons. Just check it out yourself. You know, rich men like Bill Gates and Ted Turner and others have been caught saying vaccines will help lower the population. I've heard they want to make it mandatory inoculations, so they are making it look so devastating that no one will refuse. Unless they face being quarantined, and then maybe martial law. Again, do your own research, but this whole thing can very well be a false flag of creating the crisis to offer the solution trick. Oh, and now they are connecting this zombie outbreak with Ebola patients as well? Some even pretending to die and then being raised from the dead? It really is a crazy world out there. Anyway, ISIS continues to raise havoc in the Middle East in spite of airstrikes that are inefficient because, first of all, there is not enough of them. There was only 8 in 2 days when there should have been hundreds. They are also wearing civilian clothes now and hiding amongst the people as they gain more territory and are about to take over Iraq's airport, crippling what is left and closing all escape routes. That means our Americans at the embassy in Baghdad will be prisoners. In other news, the Palestinians are rejoicing today over the UK approving Palestinian statehood if and when the time came to recognize the state of Palestine alongside the state of Israel. It's their contribution to securing a negotiated two-state solution. Talks are expected to resume again soon. And finally, Pope Francis is at it again with his scandalous rhetoric of signaling more leniency toward gay unions and heterosexuals living together without marriage. Gosh. Catholics, what does it take for you to see this heresy and come out of her before you partake in her sins? So says God in Revelation 18. It is dangerous, for by staying Catholicism, you are agreeing with what your leader says. And we are told to reprove those who practice such sins, Ephesians 5 and 2 Timothy 4. And while you're at it, reread Romans 1. Check out the name, to those in Rome. Isn't that where the Vatican is? Anyway, especially now, you Lake County people, I will be teaching the end of this month on Thursday the 30th at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Mentor, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 p.m. Why not tell someone you know that might perhaps live in that vicinity? Also, donations are needed. Please remember, it really is you that keeps this program going, and we especially need to be on the air during the Shemitah year. Please pray about sending any amount to Shofar Ministries, P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021, or through PayPal, which is on our webpage. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for all our needs. Or said in Hebrew,
Barakatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'asah Likol Zorki.
I love that. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for all our needs.
That's what Tabernacles is all about. His provisions for his own. You know, the Israelites, the first time they had really understood this was when he provided all their needs in the wilderness. Today, the mandatory and God-directed sky-roofed sukkah they built for this feast is a memorial of that time. And as I said last week, was what Jesus was born in on the first day of this feast. But tonight, we are going to look at what and why they memorialized the eighth day of Tabernacles as well.
Okay, on that note, we truly welcome you to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host tonight, with our very learned Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who will open the program with a prayer to our Abba Father.
I sure will, Kent. Dear Abba, we just thank you for your son, Yeshua, who has saved and healed us from our worst disease called sin. And we highly praise you as we continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests given to me this month. So many needs, but mostly requests for family salvations. So we beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to send other witnesses to our loved ones who will speak the truth, and that they be receptive to your knocking on their hearts. As well, please heal your precious saints of their sicknesses and diseases, as we thank you for answered prayers and our many blessings. May those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes to stand against the evil one, as we also claim healings for drug and alcohol addictions plaguing our loved ones. Bring back the backsliders as you caress and pull at their hearts. And help those Christians who have lost their possessions due to fires and weather-related disasters. And, of course, we pray for the numerous Christians who are being persecuted around the world. Now be with us tonight as we study your word and bless with abundance those who set aside this time to grow in your anointing of your Holy Spirit as we continue to wait expectantly for your trumpet call. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And a reminder, you might like to go to shofarministries.net later this week to re-listen, to take some notes, because tonight's program has some great insights, and you'll want to remember that for your own knowledge and enhancement, and most importantly, you can share it with others.
because, as believers, God expects us to pursue Him with diligence. Like He says in Proverbs 25:2, I'm going to hide it so you can find it. My paraphrase, of course, but makes sense. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 888-677-WORD, or you can email us during the program to shofarlive@yahoo.com. It's only good during this hour. Any question that you have on the end times? So, this is the last week of all the fall feasts that we're going to be teaching on. And, of course, it's the Great Harvest. And we covered Teshuvah, the season of repentance, starting way back in August. Then God's New Year, called Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. We examined the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation. Then Yom Kippur, also called the Day of Atonement. And last week we began the last and seventh appointment, called Tabernacles, or in Hebrew, Sukkot, which we're going to finish tonight, as the end of Tabernacles is on Thursday, which is the eighth day, also called Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. And from a Christian perspective, a real gold nuggets.
And Sheila, we gave solid evidence that this season of joy begins with Jesus' real birthday. And if you're new to our program, you can read about this in Sheila's free newsletter for September on our webpage at shofarministries.net.
That's right. It's actually this year, last year, and a couple years, because it's such an important concept. People have to understand this.
Right. And it really opens up the whole understanding of the timeline of things.
Oh, yes. And how detailed God is.
You can see it throughout. Amazing. Cover to cover.
And, you know, besides the birth of Jesus being on the first day of Tabernacles, Wednesday, which was his birthday, very early in the morning, as I already said, we saw the second of a tetrad of blood moons.
I want to just say something for those who may wonder what a tetrad is. It's two lunar eclipses, all right, in the spring and in the fall, 2 years in a row, so a total of four blood moons.
And it just happens to fall on the first and last feast day.
That's
twice.
Right. Out of the seven feasts, it's the first and the last, two years in a row.
Yeah.
Passover and Sukkot.
And Jesus is the first and the last.
Alpha and the Omega.
That's right. That's right. Aleph and the Tav.
Yeah.
Okay, remember now, we are in a new year on God's civil calendar, and many wonder and suspect it will be a pretty bumpy year. What do you think, Kent?
Well, I think since some experts are saying it's a Shemitah or sabbatical year, we will see some economic woes. The stock market's already dropped a little bit.
That's right, and the economists are calling for not too good a year. It's already showing signs, as you said, signs of weakness, and I believe that I think we're going to see more after the coming election. I think Obama's going to let it all hang out after that. This will be his last 2 years. That I'm actually pretty sure he's waiting till after that, and I don't know. That could be good.
We'll have to see.
And isn't it interesting that the first case of Ebola presented itself on the blood moon last week?
That's right.
In the United States. But we'll go into more of that next week because I want to cover a little bit more about what the Shemitah year is and, you know, more details. And we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
And hopefully people will read Leviticus 25. That'll help explain some of it as well.
All right. Looking forward to it. Let's get back on track.
Well, we got to stay on track this week, though. Okay, as I already stated, it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23 and Nehemiah 8, that they dwell in these booths for a full 7 days during the Feast of Tabernacles with instructions on how to make them. God even put it in his word on how to make them. And he told them, besides the regular Sabbath, a Saturday that falls during the 7 days, they were to have a Sabbath rest on the first day of Tabernacles, which would be Tishri 15 on the Hebrew calendar, and also on the eighth day of Tabernacles, which should also be Tishri 23, I think it is. But anyway, you need to read a scripture for me. Will you do that?
Sure.
How about in Nehemiah 8:15?
You got it.
You knew that already, didn't you?
I was just guessing. Go out to the mountain and collect the branches of olives, wild olives, myrtle, palms, and other leafy trees to make a Sukkot as prescribed.
Notice it said wild olives. You know, I looked that word up, and it's Shemin 8081, and it actually means a richer olive, more oil. So the wild olive has more oil than the regular olive.
And, you know, oil represents Holy Spirit.
It certainly does. And isn't it interesting that in Romans 11, 17, and 18, he calls the bride, he calls us, the wild olive? I think you should read that.
And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree.
That's it.
Ding, ding, ding. Were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches.
That's right.
But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you.
That's right. That's why I teach to break roots. Because it supports the church. It supports us. We have to know it. Because we've been grafted in.
I think it brings it to a whole new level.
That's right. I'm only doing what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
So wild olives have more oil, and we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And until they receive Christ as their Messiah, we have to help them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach them and preach to them and tell them why they need Jesus.
Yep. I agree.
Also, I think it's interesting to note the roof of the sukkah or the booth had to be made out of branches. And, of course, that means it could leave some openings in the ceiling so you could see the heavens and God's magnificent creation, and, of course, where God physically dwells. But tonight at sundown began the seventh day of Tabernacles, and tomorrow at sundown through Thursday at sundown will be the eighth and final day of the feast in Israel. Shemini Atzeret, which is the assembly of the eighth day, and Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. Shemini also can mean the end of the eighth day, the conclusion as well.
What do you mean by rejoicing in the Torah?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Well, they would rejoice because they would finish reading the Torah readings for the year on Simchat Torah. That would be what? Deuteronomy 34 is the end of the Torah. And then they would start over in Genesis 1. And they would do that every year.
So the 22nd day of Tishri, right now, is the 7th and the last day for mandatory dwelling in their sukkahs.
That's right. That's right. Something else I wanted to mention as well. If you're in America, the American Jews actually celebrate Simchat Torah on the 9th day. They just don't like doing it together on the same day. But in Israel, the 8th day and Simchat Torah are both celebrated the same day.
Okay.
Okay. In Leviticus 23:39-43, I'll just paraphrase it here. It basically says that it was mandatory and that they should dwell in these booths for a whole week.
So besides Saturday, the first and the eighth day is a Sabbath day of rest too, right?
It is. And, you know, when you ask a Jewish person, you know, why is the eighth day a Sabbath as well? And why is the feast extended an extra day? Because they only had to stay in the booth for 7 days. They really don't have an answer. They just kind of think that it's because it's the beginning day and the ending day. However, if you are a wild olive, that you are Kent, and I am, we can also know why God set it apart like he did. And I know, actually, that you do know why, because I've shared this with you. And why did he extend it an extra day, do you think?
Well, his first day was his birthday, right?
Correct.
And the eighth day, of course, naturally, I think, was when the young boys were circumcised.
That's right. And that was a special deal because it really was a typology of a blood covenant.
Ah.
So the eighth day was very important. Besides that, Jesus' number is 8. You know,
mm-hmm.
And all his names are divided by 8 without anything left over.
Okay, and 8 means new beginning.
And it's a new beginning, and he's going to be the number 8 is eternity.
And when we receive him, we're born again, and we start a new life.
We do. You
awesome.
Betcha.
It's too amazing.
It's all right. So, again, the standard Jewish answer is to why there is an extra day is, again, they come up with some various thoughts like, well, God just wanted us to celebrate one more day because we had so much fun during Tabernacles. And it is a day. It is a week of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, it's mandatory that they're not sad. They're not allowed to be sad at all.
Mandatory
they have to be
happiness.
Rejoicing and happy. And, of course, why? It was in the Old Testament, it's a picture of Jesus being born.
Uh-huh.
That's the most happy season of joy there is.
Right.
So anyhow, every Saturday, and if you look at a Hebrew calendar, as we have right here, you will see that each week is a new set of readings from the Torah. Again, it starts in Genesis and goes all the way to Deuteronomy 34, so that all Jews everywhere in the world on the Sabbath are reading the same scriptures. Now, they will add other scriptures as well from some of the other writings, but they always had to do the Torah. Okay?
Okay.
So, rejoicing in the Torah just meant the day that they finished doing the whole cycle of reading the Word of God. And it's just, to me, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it reminded them that the Torah is a circle, which means it never ends. So, they just kept going over and over. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting that I saw a quote on a Jewish website once that says, on Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet. I think that's really fitting because Jesus is the Word, and Jesus lives in us. So, he really is the Word, and we should be dancing every day.
Right. Yeah.
In other words, we have the season of joy that lives inside of us all the time. And nobody can ever take that joy away. You know, you can give it away. You can refuse to be happy. Okay? But the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, can never be taken away. No man can take that away. It's pretty cool. You know what? We even have a pretty famous song that is always sung on the 8th day of this feast of joy called Simchat Torah. And the name of the song is Sisu V Simku, which means, do you know what it means, Ken?
Let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah.
That's right. And I just think, and I played this last year too, and I love it. I think we should play it again because it's a happy, happy song. And I hope as we play this song, everyone out there will just get up out of your chair and dance to the Lord.
ושמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה שישו 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 ושמחו בשמחת תורה כבוד לתורה, סיסו ושמחו בשמחת תורה, ותנו כבוד לתורה, סיסו ושמחו בשמחת תורה, ותנו כבוד לתורה, סיסו ושמחו בשמחת תורה, ותנו כבוד לתורה, סיסו ושמחו בשמחת תורה, ותנו
Yeah. That was great. Don't you love that, Kent?
That was the Yellow Dudes.
That was the Yellow Dudes. And actually, that means, Yellow Dudes, I guess, means Hebrew for children. And it just has to, it makes me think of dudes that yell, and kids do yell, so Yellow Dudes.
Well, that clears it up for me. I was thinking blue or green dudes, and I guess it's not. It's the yellow ones.
Okay, that song was Sisu V. Simku. And we'll tune in next year at this time, because we'll probably play it again. Oh, well, anyway.
And for you were there during this feast a few years ago, weren't you?
Oh, I sure was.
Cool. Oh, was hey, great. By the way. Thanks for listening to our song. And if you'd like to Sheila to speak at your church or group or have a question, you may even want to email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834 or 9006. And please pray about sponsoring Shofar Ministries Hour.
And be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well.
And just as a reminder, the lines are open. The number for your end-time question, 888-677-WORD, that's 9673, 888-677-9673. Or, for this hour, shofarlive@yahoo.com.
Thank you there.
And just as a quick reminder, your donations are tax-deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
You may use PayPal on our web or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically put you on my informative newsletter, and also any updates and links that I send on occasion. Don't worry, I won't load up your inbox. I am very careful with what I send. So include your email address as well, or regular mail address if you desire it sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share with others.
There's a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chesterland Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland.
That's right. And please tell a friend about this end of days ministry. Referrals are always the best way. Okay, we're going to continue. We do have someone on the line, and it is Jack.
Yes.
And I think you've called before, Jack, and I know you want to know what a Shemitah year is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jack, first of all, I want to tell you to make sure that you tune in next week, because we're going to go over it in much more detail. I can't really do that this week because I'm on a little time crunch to finish the tabernacles. But I will say this, that in the Old Testament, Leviticus 25 talks about how every seventh year they were to let the land lay fallow. They were not to plow it or plant anything. They were just supposed to let it go, and God would provide.
Uh-huh.
And it was an economical thing. And the book called The Shemitah Year by
Jonathan
Kahn actually explains it really well. And he's done some homework and actually has proof that every seventh year since he figured way back in the days of Babylon that when they didn't do it,
there seemed to be an economic
downturn.
Consequence or something.
Yeah.
Depending on, now, it could have been a blessing as well. It depended on the sort of the direction that the nation was taking.
If they were following the Lord's will.
Correct.
And all
because,
that.
So yes. It could have been a curse or it could have been a blessing, either way.
And we're looking at it as being a curse because America has gone downhill so quickly in immorality and everything. So I'm thinking it's going to be a pretty bumpy year. But tune in next week for sure. We're going to cover that even more so, Jack, okay?
Okay, and are we going to have any more blood moons next year?
Yes, next year on Passover and Tabernacles, the same thing.
That's right.
And they were talking 2 weeks ago on the news that they want to put computer chips in our bodies. Will we be in heaven before that happens?
Yes, we
will. Because I don't want to take a computer chip.
Yes, we will, Jack.
And when Jesus comes back, would that be Gabriel that blows the ram's horn to say, here comes Jesus?
That trumpet will sound and we'll be called up.
And will we meet Jesus in midair, or will his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and a rock splits and living water flows from that rock?
Actually, we are going to be called up to meet him in the air. When his feet touch the ground, it'll be 7 years later, and
yeah,
that'll be at the end of the tribulation.
And I can't wait, and I'm glad his birthday's October 8th.
Well, and that changes every year. You got to pay attention to the Hebrew calendar. Tishri 15 is his birthday.
Because I don't celebrate or worship Christmas. That's paganism.
I understand, totally. Okay, listen, got to run. I'll talk to you again, all right?
Because we missed you the last 2 weeks.
I know. Thank you so much. You are so sweet to say that.
And Jesus in your Father's name in the third heaven bless Sheila Crawford and the ministry and bless you too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, let's continue on. And do you remember how much, where we left off?
Well, I think we were talking about the yellow dudes.
Oh, we were. That's right. Okay.
And how they kind of dance in the streets.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I was there during that feast, and I loved every minute of it. It's just amazing to see all these people out in the streets holding the Torah and dancing around, and they had circles going around the people holding the Torah, and it was just a beautiful night, and I just stood there in Israel and watched, and little tears came in my eyes. It was just magnificent. Everyone should go during the Feast of Tabernacles.
And those scrolls look kind of fairly heavy.
They are heavy. They are heavy.
Probably, what, 20, 30 pounds
yeah.
or something? And they're big wooden scrolls, right?
Big, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what is the material that's, you know?
Parchment.
Parchment.
They really do the real thing.
Okay. And then there's a protection, a cover.
Yeah,
that slides over the top, right?
Right.
They're mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. So. All right. So anyway, we got to move on. Last week, I left off with the daily waving of the lulav. But I really didn't have time to detail it, and it really needs to be detailed because it's one of those really spectacular things that they do at the end of Tabernacles.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, I think if you don't mind, Kent, read Leviticus 23, 40, and 41.
Sure. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Now, since the palm branch part of the lulav was the stiffest and most prominent element of the four species, the whole ceremony was called the waving of the lulav. And let's just explain that real quick. Participants would bring a fruit, usually a citron, which is really just a large lemon, also called an etrog, and they held it upside down in the left hand, and this is really important. They would tie together then the branches of the date palm, a myrtle branch, and a willow branch in the right hand. Then they would bring both hands together, turning the etrog, or the lemon, upright. And then together with both hands would wave the entire lulav north, south, east, and west.
And what does this spiritually represent to the bride of Christ, please?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Sorry. I was talking too fast. It represents a grafting in.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it?
Cool.
Think about it.
Okay.
Again, the Jews use the etrog. It's a big lemon. But in the original scriptures, it just says fruit.
Okay.
And to me, it could easily be a wild olive branch with wild olives on it, of course.
Okay.
As we already talked about in Romans 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we did. So, anyhow, if we're the fruit, and after we are turned right side up, then we're made righteous, and then we join ourselves to Israel, which is the branches.
Okay.
So we come together after we are righteous, because then we realize we're supposed to be grafted into Israel and understand the roots.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. It makes sense.
Also, and it's for anyone. Anyone can do this, okay?
Uh-huh.
And together as one body, but with different strong points. And I think that's important to point out, too, because three different kinds of branches portray something different. In other words, we need all kinds of people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that the date palm actually has no fragrance, but it does have some fruit, where the myrtle has no fruit, but it does have a nice fragrance, and the willow has no fruit or fragrance, but looks pretty and makes the sound of a rushing wind when swayed.
Okay.
So, you see all the different things here?
Slowly, but, I'm trying to draw a conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one more thing on these different branches. They are all found in diverse places. So, in other words, if they represent people, anyone can join. For instance, the willow is only found in the brooks, where the myrtle is found up on the mountains. The date palms are found in the valleys, and the fruits grow in the fertile, very low valleys of the lowlands. However, the olive trees grow anywhere, low, high, even rocky.
Now that is a great topology.
Oh, my gosh, it sure is. Wow. So.
Also, we had, if I recall, Feast of All Nations.
Oh, it's also called the Feast of All Nations, exactly. Again, going back to it's for everybody. Anybody can join. Same thing with Christianity. Anybody can be a Christian if they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in the Old Testament, anyone could join in and be, follow the Jewish religion as well.
Right.
And still can, of course. But in Zechariah 14, it says that we will, even during the millennial kingdom, celebrate that feast. And in fact, it'll be mandatory. And in fact, it also says that if a nation doesn't come up to Jerusalem during Tabernacles to worship the king, that they will have no reign in that country. And it specifically mentions Egypt. I think it says if Egypt doesn't come up, they won't have any reign.
Uh-oh.
How about that?
Better get up there.
So you can see how important Tabernacles is.
Right.
Well, of course, it's Jesus' birthday as a man.
Right.
And then I think I mentioned this last week, but I just want to point it out again, that at sundown they had the what they call the Feast of Lights. Do you know what that is?
I think that's where they had those tall outer temple candles that were, 50 to 75 feet maybe?
Yeah, 75.
75 feet. And Jesus, of course, was born on the Feast of Lights.
He was.
Right? And it's even said that he's the light of the world.
Of course.
And I think in John 8:12. He declared, I am the light of the world.
He even said it.
Right.
And what's interesting is that it was perfectly timed and planned out long time ago for him to be born on the Feast of Tabernacles and for him to stand there during the Feast of Lights as they're lighting these 75-foot-tall candles that lit up all of Jerusalem, for him to declare out loud, hey, I'm the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
It's just amazing.
That fits perfectly.
Yeah, it was planned. A long time ago.
Right.
For him to stand there and do that.
Right.
And that's why I get so sad when the church doesn't realize the feasts that the Gospel of John encompasses, every single one of them, and how Jesus used them to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we don't know them as a rule.
Yeah. The church sometimes tunes that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you certainly, those that listen to this program at least, can see the beauty in knowing your roots because it takes you deeper. It gets you to understand the awesomeness of how God is. You don't see that if you don't know your roots. You just don't.
And I think, you know, when you look at the feasts, the first four spring feasts represent his first coming, and the last three represent his second coming.
That's right.
So, to me, that's an important...
It's prophecy.
It's something that you... It's important to know,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's very important to know. And, well, we must move on. It's also called the Feast of Dedication. Do you know what that's about?
Would it be Solomon's Temple?
Absolutely. And I do want to make a note here that Hanukkah is also called the Feast of Dedication, but called the Feast of Dedication in the winter. And John 10:22 establishes that fact. Because it's basically when they rededicated Zerubbabel's temple after Antiochus Epiphanes had desecrated it, and they refurbished it, and that was on Kislev 25, which is in the winter. Sort of like around our December, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring, or the Water Libation, where they take running water from the Pool of Siloam in Shiloh, which is the name for the Messiah, called Living Water, or Mayim Hayim, and poured it out at the same time as wine is poured from a vessel, and they would do it together over the altar. What a great picture here, Kent. Do you know what that picture is?
I would go with type of Jesus being pierced where the blood and the water poured out of his body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The cross being the altar, of course, and it's here that Jesus points to himself now during this house of water pouring and another opportunity again to declare to the people, hey, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. And you can read that in John 7:37.
I will. On that last day.
Oh, thank you.
On that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart flows rivers of living water.
That's right. And to me, that's the promise of the Holy Spirit, too. And the wine represents his blood, and the water, of course, his word, Ephesians 5:26. Also, the day he said it was on the seventh day of the feast, called Hosanna Rabbah, which literally means the great Hosanna. And he is our Hosanna. And this is where the daily ceremonies become more elaborate and more festive than any of the intermediate days. And willow branches are circled around the altar seven times while reciting the Hosanna prayers that they cried out, save now, was repeated seven times. And of course, Jesus is our Savior.
You know, in the book of John, it's loaded with typology of our Hebrew roots, and yet most of this is ignored, you know.
As we just said.
You know.
Yeah. So, all we can do is keep trying and tell people. And then the people really need to tell their pastors, because if you don't, they might think you don't want to know.
Well,
you have to request it.
Again, like Passover represented his death. What was it? Unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And first fruits, he rose again.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 days later on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came.
That's right.
And so that was all fulfilled. The next.
And that's just what he did. They were all had a historical application as well.
Moving on. Sorry.
That's right. Anyway, his timing is impeccable. Not only is it perfect and a great statement, any idea what scripture he might have also been referring to in the Old Testament, which is another scripture said during this ceremony of the water pouring, which kind of refers to the water.
Well, in Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
That's right. And it's also interesting in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where God chose this day, Hosanna Rabbah, which is the seventh day, to speak through Haggai that Zerubbabel's temple was not like Solomon's and absolutely nothing like the Messiah's temple will be after he shakes the nations in judgment. So God spoke that through Haggai on Hosanna Rabbah, specifically making sure they knew that it was the very first verse of the book, which means it said it was the second of Tishrei or the seventh month.
An important day.
21st, I'm sorry. But, again, you would miss it if you didn't know Hebraic roots.
And, yes, I would miss that if I didn't know the Hebraic roots.
You know. Sure would. And every time you see a passage that gives you the month in the Bible, you should flip back to your calendar that you taped in, the Hebrew calendar, to see what season it is, and it will give you more depth to the scriptures.
And this was, of course, pleasing to God.
It's very pleasing to God, which is why I tell people that if you don't have a Hebrew calendar taped to the back of your Bible, get a hold of me and I'll send you one. But I believe it's very pleasing to God when you dig a little deeper. The study of his word is just important because it does make you go deeper.
What was that ancient Jewish proverb that you told me about?
I know which one you mean, where it says, don't give much credit for knowing Torah, because that is why you were born.
That's pretty humble. That's humble.
To fellowship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his word. Over prayer.
prayer is you talking to God, of course, but studying His Word is God talking to you.
That's right. That's really how it happens. Okay, we only have 5 minutes. I want to get this in because it's a great gold nugget. Now, still in the book of John, the next morning of Hosanna Rabbah, the seventh day until sundown, they were in the temple reading out of Jeremiah. But before I read the exact scriptures, let me recall to you an interesting episode that happened right after temple services where they were reading Jeremiah, and as recorded by John, and it's about that woman caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus. Remember, the Pharisee says she should be stoned and wanted his opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt and what he could have been doing. Why don't you read that nice and slow?
Sure. Again, you can read this for yourself, John chapter 8, verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone first at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
Okay, so none of them accused her. They knew exactly what he was saying because something else occurred here. In other words, what did he write? Now, I've heard many explanations, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah that is read during this week of Tabernacles and possibly even had a sermon on it just prior to this event. Particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which we know is a ceremony done during this feast, which is why they read it. So let's read what they would have read just before the woman they wanted to stone.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Okay, so that's what he was writing. He was writing their names on Hosanna Rabbah in the dirt, which was a symbol of being doomed in the grave. They dare not accuse her. It's amazing, in these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. These feasts were important for them because God wanted them to be. That's why. How much more important for us to learn by them and see Jesus in them and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned these events in a major teaching tool. It's so phenomenal to me. I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that those that desire to can see him in a deeper light. And those key words is those that desire to. And it's a choice, people. It is a choice. All right, precious ones, if you are listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, remember Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And he even today stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. But he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are also beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Maybe you are an in-name only Christian of Matthew 7 who only has a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah, to anyone who wants him. God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool. And now for the Aaronic blessing, Yivarekka Adonai V'yishmerekka, Ya'er Adonai, Panav Eleka V'nuneka, Yasei Adonai, Panav Eleka V'yasam, Laka Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
It's not maybe.
Psalm 122:6.
That's right. Tune in next week and we'll be talking about some good truth.
God bless everyone. Good night.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.